Chapter 27. Disappear, passing out into the moonlight at the opposite end of the corner. It is not until they are gone that Mr. Jasper moves. But then he turns to Durdles and bursts into a fit of laughter. Durdles, who still has that suspended something in his cheek and who sees nothing to laugh at, stares at him until Mr. Jasper lays his face down on his arms to have his laugh out. Then Durdles bolts the something, as if desperately resigning himself to indigestion. Among those secluded nooks there is very little stir or movement after dark. There is little enough in the high tide of the day, but there is next to none at night. Besides that, the cheerfully frequented high street lies nearly parallel to the spot, the old cathedral rising between the two, and is the natural channel in which the Cloisterham traffic flows. A certain awful hush pervades the ancient pile, the cloisters, and the churchyard, after dark, which not many people care to encounter. Ask the first 100 citizens of Cloisterham, met at random in the streets at noon, if they believed in ghosts, they would tell you no, but put them to choose at night between these eerie precincts and the thoroughfare of shops, and you would find that 99 declared for the longer round and the more frequented way. The cause of this is not to be found in any local superstition that attaches to the precincts, albeit a mysterious lady, with a child in her arms and a rope dangling from her neck, has been seen flitting about there by sundry witnesses as intangible as herself, but it is to be sought in the innate shrinking of dust with the breath of life in it from dust out of which the breath of life has passed. Also, in the widely diffused, and almost as widely unacknowledged, reflection. If the dead do, under any circumstances, become visible to the living, these are such likely surroundings for the purpose that I, the living, will get out of them, as soon as I can. Apostrophe hence, when Mr. Jasper and Durdles pause to glance around them, before descending into the crypt by a small side door, of which the latter has a key, the whole expanse of moonlight in their view is utterly deserted. One might fancy that the tide of life was stemmed by Mr. Jasper's own gatehouse. The murmur of the tide is heard beyond, but no wave passes the archway, over which his lamp burns red behind his curtain, as if the building were a lighthouse. They enter, locking themselves in, descend the rugged steps, and are down in the crypt. The lantern is not wanted, for the moonlight strikes in at the groined windows, bare of glass, the broken frames for which cast patterns on the ground. The heavy pillars which support the roof engender masses of black shade, but between them there are lanes of light. Up and down these lanes they walk, Durdles discoursing of the old uns he yet counts on disentering, and slapping a wall, in which he considers a whole family on them, to be stoned and earthed up, just as if he were a familiar friend of the family. The taciturnity of Durdles is for the time overcome by Mr. Jasper's wicker bottle, which circulates freely, in the sense, that is to say, that its contents enter freely into Mr. Durdles' circulation, while Mr. Jasper only rinses his mouth once, and casts forth the rinsing. They are to ascend the great tower. On the steps by which they rise to the cathedral, Durdles pauses for new store of breath. The steps are very dark, but out of the darkness they can see the lanes of light they have traversed. Durdles seats himself upon a step. Mr. Jasper seats himself upon another. The odor from the wicker bottle which has somehow passed into Durdles' keeping soon intimates that the cork has been taken out. But this is not ascertainable through the sense of sight, since neither can descry the other. And yet, in talking, they turn to one another, as though their faces could commune together. This is good stuff, Mr. Jasper. ... It is very good stuff, I hope. I bought it on purpose. ... They don't show, you see, the old uns don't, Mr. Jasper. ... It would be a more confused world than it is, if they could. ... It would lead towards a mixing of things. ... Durdles acquiesces. Pausing on the remark, as if the idea of ghosts had not previously presented itself to him in a merely inconvenient light, domestically or chronologically. But do you think there may be ghosts of other things, though not of men and women? Apostrophe apostrophe, what things? Flower beds and watering pots? Horses and harness? Apostrophe, no. Sounds. Apostrophe, what sounds? Apostrophe apostrophe, cries. Apostrophe, what cries do you mean? Chairs to mend? Apostrophe, no. I mean screeches. Now I'll tell you, Mr. Jarsper. Wait a bit till I put the bottle right. Apostrophe here the cork is evidently taken out again, and replaced again. There. Now it's right. This time last year, only a few days later, I happened to have been doing what was correct by the season, in the way of giving it the welcome it had a right to expect, when them town boys set on me at their worst. At length I gave them the slip, and turned in here. And here I fell asleep. And what woke me? The ghost of a cry. The ghost of one terrific shriek, which shriek was followed by the ghost of the howl of a dog. A long, dismal, woeful howl, such as a dog gives when a person's dead. That was my last Christmas Eve. Apostrophe, what do you mean? Apostrophe apostrophe is the very abrupt, and, one might say, fierce retort. I mean that I made inquiries everywhere about, and, that no living ears, but mine heard either that cry or that howl. So I say they was both ghosts, though why they came to me, I've never made out. Apostrophe, I thought you were another kind of man, apostrophe says Jasper, scornfully. So I thought myself, apostrophe answers Durdles with his usual composure, and yet I was picked out for it. Apostrophe, Jasper had risen suddenly, when he asked him what he meant, and he now says, come, we shall freeze here, lead the way. Apostrophe, Durdles complies, not over steadily, opens the door at the top of the steps with the key he has already used, and so emerges on the cathedral level, in a passage at the side of the chancel. Here, the moonlight is so very bright again, that the colors of the nearest stained glass window are thrown upon their faces. The appearance of the unconscious Durdles, holding the door open for his companion to follow, as if from the grave, is ghastly enough, with a purple hand across his face, and a yellow splash upon his brow. But he bears the close scrutiny of his companion in an insensible way, although it is prolonged while the latter fumbles among his pockets for a key confided to him that will open an iron gate, so to enable them to pass to the staircase of the great tower. That and the bottle are enough for you to carry, apostrophe he says, giving it to Durdles. Hand your bundle to me. I am younger and longer-winded than you. Apostrophe Durdles hesitates for a moment between bundle and bottle, but gives the preference to the bottle as being by far the better company, and consigns the dry weight to his fellow explorer. Then they go up the winding staircase of the great tower, toilsomely, turning and turning, and lowering their heads, to avoid the stairs above, or the rough stone pivot around which they twist. Durdles has lighted his lantern, by drawing from the cold, hard wall a spark of that mysterious fire which lurks in everything, and, guided by this speck, they clamber up among the cobwebs and the dust. Their way lies through strange places. Twice or thrice they emerge into level, low-arched galleries, whence they can look down into the moonlit nave, and where Durdles, waving his lantern, waves the dim angel's heads upon the corbels of the roof, seeming to watch their progress. Anon they turn into narrower and steeper staircases, and the night air begins to blow upon them, and the chirp of some startled jackdaw, or frightened rook precedes the heavy beating of wings in a confined space, and the beating down of dust and straws upon their heads. At last, leaving their light behind a stair for it blows fresh up here they look down on Cloisterham, fair to see in the moonlight. Its ruined habitations and sanctuaries of the dead, at the tower's base. Its moss-softened red-tiled roofs, and red-brick houses of the living, clustered beyond. Its river winding down from the mist on the horizon, as though that were its source, and already heaving with a restless knowledge of its approach towards the sea. Once again, an unaccountable expedition this. Jasper always moving softly with no visible reason, contemplates the scene, and especially that stillest part of it which the cathedral overshadows. But he contemplates Durdles quite as curiously, and Durdles is by times conscious of his watchful eyes. Only by times, because Durdles is growing drowsy. As aeronauts lighten the load they carry when they wish to rise, similarly Durdles has lightened the wicker bottle in coming up. Snatches of sleep surprise him on his legs, and stop him in his talk. A mild fit of calenture seizes him, in which he deems that the ground so far below is on a level with the tower, and would as lief walk off the tower into the air as not. Such is his state when they begin to come down. And as aeronauts make themselves heavier when they wish to descend, similarly Durdles charges himself with more liquid from the wicker bottle, that he may come down the better. The iron gate attained and locked, but not before Durdles has tumbled twice, and cut an eyebrow open once they descend into the crypt again, with the intent of issuing forth as they entered. But, while returning among those lanes of light, Durdles becomes so very uncertain, both of foot and speech, that he half drops, half throws himself down, by one of the heavy pillars, scarcely less heavy than itself, and indistinctly appeals to his companion for 40 winks of a second each. If you will have it so, or must have it so, apostrophe replies Jasper, I'll not leave you here. Take them, while I walk to and fro. Apostrophe, Durdles is asleep at once, and in his sleep he dreams a dream. It is not much of a dream, considering the vast extent of the domains of Dreamland, and their wonderful productions. It is only remarkable for being unusually restless and unusually real. He dreams of lying there, asleep, and yet counting his companion's footsteps as he walks to and fro. He dreams that the footsteps die away into distance of time and of space, and that something touches him, and that something falls from his hand. Then something clinks and gropes about, and he dreams that he is alone for so long a time that the lanes of light take new directions as the moon advances in her course. From succeeding unconsciousness he passes into a dream of slow uneasiness from cold, and painfully awakes to a perception of the lanes of light really changed, much as he had dreamed and Jasper walking among them, beating his hands and feet. Holloa! Apostrophe apostrophe Durdles cries out, unmeaningly alarmed. Awake at last? Apostrophe apostrophe says Jasper, coming up to him. Do you know that your 40s have stretched into thousands? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, they have though. Apostrophe, what's the time? Apostrophe, apostrophe, hark. The bells are going in the tower. Apostrophe, they strike 4 quarters, and then the great bell strikes. 2. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cries Durdles, scrambling up. Why didn't you try to wake me, Mr. Jasper? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I did. I might as well have tried to wake the dead your own family of dead, up in the corner there. Apostrophe, did you touch me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, touch you? Yes. Shook you. Apostrophe, as Durdles recalls that touching something in his dream, he looks down on the pavement, and sees the key of the crypt door lying close to where he himself lay. I dropped you, did I? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he says, picking it up, and recalling that part of his dream. As he gathers himself up again into an upright position, or into a position as nearly upright as he ever maintains, he is again conscious of being watched by his companion. Well? Apostrophe apostrophe says Jasper, smiling, are you quite ready? Pray don't hurry. Apostrophe, let me get my bundle right, Mr. Jasper, and I'm with you. Apostrophe as he ties it afresh, he is once more conscious that he is very narrowly observed. What do you suspect me of, Mr. Jasper? Apostrophe apostrophe he asks, with drunken displeasure. Let them as has any suspicions of Durdles name 'em. Apostrophe, I've no suspicions of you, my good Mr. Durdles, but I have suspicions that my bottle was filled with something stiffer than either of us supposed. And I also have suspicions, apostrophe Jasper adds, taking it from the pavement and turning it bottom upwards, that it's empty. Apostrophe, Durdles condescends to laugh at this, continuing to chuckle when his laugh is over, as though remonstrant with himself on his drinking powers, he rolls to the door and unlocks it. They both pass out, and Durdles relocks it, and pockets his key. A thousand thanks for a curious and interesting night, apostrophe says Jasper, giving him his hand. You can make your own way home? Apostrophe apostrophe, I should think so. Apostrophe apostrophe answers Durdles. If he was to offer Durdles the affront to show him his way home, he wouldn't go home. Durdles wouldn't go home till morning, and then Durdles wouldn't go home. Durdles wouldn't. Apostrophe this with the utmost defiance. Good night, then. Apostrophe, good night, Mr. Jasper. Apostrophe, each is turning his own way, when a sharp whistle rends the silence, and the jargon is yelped out. Witty witty when. I catch SM out Arthur 10. Witty witty why. Then he don't go then I shy witty witty wake cock warning. Apostrophe apostrophe, instantly afterwards, a rapid fire of stones rattles at the cathedral wall, and the hideous small boy is beheld opposite, dancing in the moonlight. What? Is that baby devil on the watch there? Apostrophe cries Jasper in a fury, so quickly roused, and so violent, that he seems an older devil himself. I shall shed the blood of that impish wretch. I know I shall do it. Apostrophe apostrophe regardless of the fire, though it hits him more than once, he rushes at deputy, collars him, and tries to bring him across. But deputy is not to be so easily brought across. With a diabolical insight into the strongest part of his Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.